There's a personality in the prayer. It's just you and God. Nobody else. They talk, you know, the Bible talks about praying in your closet. Nobody else can enter the special relationship that you have. It's just between you and God. And, you know, I think what happens a lot of times is we don't stay in prayer long enough to sense that personality prayer. The benefit is this. When prayer is a priority and you know it's a privilege, you know, there's no fanfare to getting started with prayer and God when you're in the car. You just go into the conversation. Or you're in your office, or you've got your head buried down in a machine and you're trying to get it fixed. And just go right into prayer with God. That's what these three things do. This privilege, this priority, and this personality. He's somebody you're talking to all the time. It's not like a strange occurrence or anything. It's just that sweet, sweet fellowship with God. Notice something else. In Ephesians chapter 6, look at verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, look at verse 10. And then look at verse 18. Notice not only the privilege, the priority, privilege, and personality of prayer, but notice this. It really has something very special for us. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, we are instructed, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And then we're instructed to put on the whole armor of God. And there are six pieces. The piece of armor that's missing is the leg greaves that would normally cover a soldier that's wearing this kind of armament. And the reason those leg greaves are missing is that they're unnecessary. They say we stand by kneeling. Verse 18 says, this is why, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying always. Luke 18 says men ought always to pray and not to faint. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says pray without ceasing. Men praying here always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So he says in verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And then he says, verse 18, praying always. In other words, the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the shield of faith, the feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace, all that armament is all God's, and so is prayer. In other words, if you want to access the power of God, the way to stand in His power, the power of His might, is to pray. All of us are limited as human beings. We're limited in our wisdom, so he says, ask of God. We're limited in our strength. That's why he says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. In other words, if you go through your mental capacity, we don't have, God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. If you look at your physical strength, your mental capacity, your wisdom, the ability to love, all of those things, you don't have the strength to stand. But He does. And the access to His power and the access to His might is through prayer. There's an acknowledgement that says, Lord, I can't do this, but I know that You can. There's an acknowledgement that says, I need You. And God responds to that. God responds to that. The Lord's might. You don't have the strength to deal with temptation in your life. So the Bible says, there's no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape, that you may be able to endure it. So you call upon the Lord in time of temptation, and He steps in the need of wisdom. He steps in. And then you know in all of those capacities that you're standing there in the Lord's might and depending upon His power. Now, is there anything He can't do? Nothing. Jehoshaphat was getting ready to face three armies of enemies. the children of Mount Seir and the Ammonites and the Moabites. And he said, but we need to pray. And he got in there and started talking to the Lord. And the Lord said, you know what? Don't even worry about fighting. This is my battle. So Jehoshaphat shows up the next day with his army. But he doesn't put the men out in front. He doesn't put the priests out in front. He puts the singers out in front. That's a good way to fight. And they get up there and start singing praise to the Lord. And God sets an ambushment. And they look over the precipice. And they watch those three different armies turn against each other. And literally destroy themselves down to the man. And then Jehoshaphat steps in with his guys. It takes him 3 days to gather up the spoil. Who won that battle? The Lord did that. Joshua goes into battle in Joshua chapter 10, and Moses is over there with Aaron and Hur. They hold that rod up, you know, and Joshua fights and fights. And he says, sun, stand still, and the moon and Ajalon. If you've ever read through military history, a lot of times when nightfall comes, one army had a great advantage over the other army, but the night time came, and then the other army was reinforced, and they lost their advantage. So Joshua says, not tonight. We need the sun. And the sun does that. And it never happened before, and it's never happened again. How'd that happen? He just called out to God and asked it to happen, and God did it. We don't avail ourselves of the power that's available to us nearly like we should. But we can, and I think we will. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, and I'll show you one other thing. We've seen the priority of prayer and the privilege of prayer, the personality of prayer. The power of prayer, and then notice this. I couldn't think of. I'm like Randy, who, you know, ran out of W's in the outline. Now, I had a word here in my mind, but I couldn't put a P on it to save my life. But I got you one. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Notice, he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. So I'll call this the proportion of prayer. You cannot ask for too much. God is limitless. If you can think it or you can ask it, he's higher than that. He'll do more than that. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. We don't ask high enough. I say that sometimes. We need to. Now, I'll tell you one of the constant prayers that I have for our missionaries. We have these missionary cards that go around, and Maureen is nice enough to make a copy for me. And what I do with these is there are 58 of them here. Sometimes there's been 60. It just depends on how it sorts out. I thought of one that needs to be on here, by the way. And anyway, so if you take a month, there's, you know, 30 days, right, more or less. And divide it up by two, that's 15. So if you pray over four of these a day, you can pray through the whole list twice a month. So I take mine and pray over them. I'm not trying to set any records or anything. It's just these guys need prayer. These guys and their wives and their families need prayer. I believe, one of my constant prayers is this: God, don't let the missionary be limited in the thing that you want him to do because of a limitation on his finances. Now, there are times when God will limit a person's finances on purpose, and he doesn't want anybody to step in and make up the gap because he's trying to teach him something. And God will oftentimes step in and show him another way. And if you're always there footing the bill, then God can't do that. So I'm not inclined to believe that every need is our need. But I'll tell you what, I would love for this church to be in a position to recognize the need. When God recognizes the need, before even maybe the missionary knows of the need, and be prepared to make the provision so that when the need was evident, the supply was there. And in order to be able to do that, we have to be in communication with a God that can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think and put him to the challenge. Do you understand? So prayer is, I know by the time we get to the end of Wednesday night, we've had some praises and a missionary report, and we've had a brief sermon like we're about to conclude here. We get the list of things that we said we wanted to pray for and the few cards of the missionaries, and then it's almost a race to see who can get out the door first. Not really. You guys are very faithful to pray, but let me tell you something. There's nothing wrong at home or here with spending a little more time with the man that can do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think, and talk to him a while and raise that bar and be involved with a God like our God. We have a great privilege in prayer. We really do. And I pray that we exhaust every means to exercise it that God has given at our disposal. I know we're known as a giving church. I'm glad we are. I want to continue to be known as that. I'd also like to be known as a praying church that can get a hold of the throne of grace in a moment's notice and get God, just like Peter did that day. The reason I went to that prayer, he said, "Lord, save me." And you know what God did? Immediately, he reached down there and took him by the hand. There are all kinds of needs out there that are not written down on these cards that these missionaries have. They're fighting discouragement. They've got marital situations. They have trouble with kids. None of that stuff shows up in the letter. You got to spend a little time with your Savior in order to get in there and get the heart of that praying. And God will do some big things. I'll say this also, you know, it's been in the last several months, pretty regularly on Sunday, somebody gets saved in here from preaching. Keep praying about that. Keep praying about that. That has nothing to do, I mean, it has something to do with the people that brought them, obviously, but that doesn't have anything to do with us. That has to do with God working in liberty here with His Word, changing the lives of men and women. It's an amazing thing. That's a miracle. And I don't think it happens without prayer. I'll say one other thing about this privilege of praying that we have. I believe that we have unknown weaknesses in our church. By that I mean, I believe that there are people that are dealing privately with matters in their lives and they're succumbing to temptation and losing battles with the devil. Those things permeate inside of a church and they're not seen, but they provide a weakness. You know what a good counter that is? Prayer. Prayer. Go to battle for the sake of your brothers and sisters in Christ. Over their children, over their lives, over things they may not even know about. I believe, like Brother Modler said one time, you put some good prayer in the prayer bank, when it comes time for withdrawal, there'll be something there to draw on. Prayer is a priority, it's a privilege. It's our personality, it's God's power, and the proportion is limitless. You cannot ask too much from God. Amen. Father, we're thankful tonight for an opportunity to look at these matters. We ask you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help us to be faithful to accomplish in prayer what you desired for us when you told us about it. For we ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen.